everything that matters in life and death depends upon our relationship with God.
Amen.
I want you to think about that statement for a minute. Everything that means anything depends upon our relationship with God. So this morning, we're going to examine a passage of Scripture that speaks to us greatly about our relationship with the Lord. So I want to ask you to turn to the book of Colossians, chapter 3, and we're going to take a look at verses 1 through 4. Colossians chapter 3, and we're going to park right here. Beginning with the first word in the first verse. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Now, here's what we're going to do. First of all, we're going to step into this passage. What is all of this about? What was it that the Apostle Paul was trying to teach these Christians in Colossae? And what is it that the Apostle Paul wants us to glean from this passage? Then, having stepped into it and find out what it means, we then want to step back from it, understanding what it means, and then we want to make some personal observations in our own lives. So let's begin by examining this text. What is it that the Apostle Paul wants us to get? And I want you to take a look at the very first word in the chapter. He says, if then you have been raised with Christ. Now, if you go to the old King James Version, it begins with if. The new King James Version begins with if. The English Standard Version, which I'm using, begins with if. But you need to understand what Paul is saying here. When Paul says, if then you have been raised with Christ, the Apostle Paul is not indicating that some of these Christians in Colossae have not been raised with Christ. You say, well, how do you know that? Because a half a chapter earlier, in chapter 2 and in verse 12, Paul says that they all had been buried with Christ and that they all had been raised with Christ. So when Paul begins this verse with the word if, Paul was not indicating that there were some Christians who hadn't been raised with Christ. But what the Apostle Paul is indicating with this word is he's using this word as a basis of a challenge. What he is saying to them is this: if then you have been raised with Christ, and all of them have, Paul then sets forth this challenge. Having been raised with him, now you need to follow through on the new life you have just begun. The verse could have began with the word since you have been raised with Christ. The New International Version begins the verse that way. So here's what Paul is alluding to. If you have then been raised with Christ, and you have, then there is a responsibility that you must take hold of here. Because you have been raised with Christ, there is a work you must put your hand to. Since you have been raised with Christ, there is now a life that you must follow through to live. So that's how he starts. You have been raised with Christ. So now, what should happen in each of our lives? So in this passage, the Apostle Paul sets forth a threefold obligation to everyone who has been raised with Christ. The first obligation we have, because we have been raised with Christ, is to seek heavenly things. Look at verse 1. Because then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above. The word seek in verse 1 is an imperative. It is a command. Not only is it a command, but it is a command that finds itself with an ongoing action. In other words, Paul is saying, look, I command you to seek and keep seeking what is above. Paul is saying, listen, you need to seek and not stop seeking that which is above. So the obligation that everybody who has been raised with Christ has is to seek heavenly things. The second obligation we have, being raised with Christ, is that we need to mind heavenly things. Look at verse 2. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. What is he saying? He's saying you give careful consideration to the things of God. He's saying, listen, your mindset in life, now that you have been raised with Christ, your mindset ought to now be on spiritual things. Paul is saying you need to put your thoughts on heavenly things. The third obligation that he sets forth here is that we are to live heavenly things. Now, I want you to look at verse 3 and 4. And I want you to look carefully as he uses the word life. Look what he says about the word life. Verse 3. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Verse 4. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. So what is the obligation? Here it is, brethren. If we will seek heaven, if we will mind heaven, and if we will live heaven, then one day we will go to heaven. But the key, listen to me, the key to the passage is that first statement. Raised with Christ. Listen to me. If a person has been raised with Christ, then there are certain things that are going to be true about that person. If a person has been raised with Christ, there are certain things that will be true about them. Now let's make some observations on what the passage has taught us. First of all, notice with me that if you have been raised with Christ, your focus will be on heaven. Your focus will be on heaven. Again, look at verse 1 and the first part of verse 2. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Verse 2, set your mind on things that are above. If an individual has been raised with Christ, their focus in life is going to be on heaven. It's going to be on the things of God. Now, tragically, most of the people who walk the face of this earth, their focus in life is not on the things of God. Now, here's what I want you to do. Do it with me. Hold your finger in Colossians 3, and I want you to go back to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. We are going to look here at a man who is planning his life. He's planning his future. And his attitude, his life, and his mindset is very much like people's today. Luke chapter 12, look at verse 16. And he told a parable saying, the land of a rich man produced plentiful. And he thought to himself, what shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops. And he said, I'll do this. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones. And there I will store my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, fool. This night your soul is required of you, and these things you have prepared, whose will they be? Now I want you to notice two things about the focus of this man's life. Number one, his focus was on the here and now. Read the passage again. In everything he's planning, in everything he said, there's not one word here about God. There's not one word here about death. There's not one word here about eternity. There's not one word here about the hereafter. It's just about the here and now. Most people alive today are not thinking about hereafter. They're like him. Their focus is on here and now. A young man graduated from high school. He was very gifted, extremely intelligent. So his preacher came up to him and he says, okay, what are your plans? And the young man said, well, he said, I'm going to go to college. Preacher said, that's great. Then what?
Well, I want to be a lawyer, so I'll end up in law school. Preacher said, fine. What then? He said, well, I'm going to take the bar. I'll pass the bar exam. Preacher said, wonderful. What then? He said, well, I'll become a lawyer, and I'm going to spend my life and my career practicing law. Preacher said, okay. What then? He said, well, someday, you know, I will retire and enjoy retirement. The preacher said, wonderful. What then? And the young man looked at him kind of confused. And he said, well, preacher, I guess one day I'll die. And the preacher said, young man, what then? I don't care who you are. I don't care what career you head into. What all of us have in common, if the Lord tarries, is that one day we're going to die, and what then? This man's focus on life is like our focus on life. It's right here and it's right now. Notice, secondly, his focus was on himself. Now let's go back to the passage, and we are going to count the personal pronouns in this passage. Every time he says, me, my, I. Let's count this. Verse 16. And he told a parable saying, the land of a certain rich man produced plentiful. And he thought within himself, stop. Here is a guy having a meeting with himself. You can come to some great conclusions when you're the only one in the meeting. Watch this. What shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops. And he said, I will do this. I will tear down my barn and build larger. And there I will bestow all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, you have much goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, and be merry. It was all about him. It was all about him. And I'm telling you, the tragedy is that with most people today, we are walking in the footsteps of this guy. So we come together and we sing, this world is not my home, but we live like it is. Watch this. Amen. See it? If a person has been risen with Christ, the focus of their life is going to be on heavenly things. It's going to be on the things of God. It's going to be on spiritual things. Number two, if a person has been risen with Christ, they're going to be baptized. They're going to be baptized. Look now with me carefully. Look at chapter 2 and verse 12 of Colossians. Chapter 2 and verse 12. Having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him. Is that what your Bible says? Listen to me. Listen to me. This is simple. If you have been raised with Christ, it's because you have been baptized. Look at the verse. We are buried with him in baptism, and then we are raised with him. How is one raised with Christ? In baptism. If you have been raised with Christ, then you have been baptized. If you have not been baptized, you have not been raised with Christ. Now, well, what is baptism? What is that? Baptism is an immersion in water. In Acts, the 8th chapter, verse 35, the evangelist Philip teaches the Ethiopian eunuch about Jesus. Somewhere in the teaching of about Jesus, Philip explains baptism. Because the very next body of water that those two pass, riding on this chariot, the eunuch speaks up and says, well, there is water. What hinders me to be baptized? Are you listening? The Bible then says that both men went down into the water, that the act of baptism was performed, and that both men then came up out of the water. Well, what do I learn from that? What I learned from that is that in Bible baptism, two men got wet. In Romans chapter 6, verse 3 and 4, Paul said that we have been buried with Christ in baptism unto death. Baptism is an act of faith. When I comply with that, that baptism puts me into the death of Jesus. It was in his death that he shed his blood. Without the shedding of that blood, there's no remission of sin. Well, how do I contact that blood that will remit my sin? You reach his death and that blood through that faithful act of baptism. Paul then ends that in Romans 6 and verse 4 by saying we rise up to walk in a brand new life. The new life is on this side of the baptistry, not on that side of it. Now, if you have been risen with Christ, you have been baptized. If you haven't been baptized, you haven't been risen with Christ. Everybody okay? Now watch this. We're going to go slow here. And this is going to surprise some of you. God has used water all the way through the Bible. Say, you gonna prove that? I wouldn't have said it if I couldn't prove it. God has used water all the way through the Bible. God put water between Noah and the new world. In 1 Peter chapter 3, listen to it. In 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 20, the apostle Peter said that it was by means of the flood waters that Noah transitioned him and his family from the old world to the new world. What does that mean? That means that on one side of the flood waters was the old world, and on the other side of the flood waters was the new world. God put Noah between water and the new world. What are you saying? I'm saying that God has used water all of the way through the Bible. Note, God put water between the children of Israel and the promised land. Moses goes down into Egypt, let my people go. Moses leads them out of Egypt. They cross the Red Sea. They will eventually end up in the promised land. The Apostle Paul in the New Testament, talking about this incident, said in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 2 that they were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. Listen to me. On the other side of the Red Sea water, on the other side was the old world, Egypt, slavery. That was the old world. On the other side was the promised land. God put water between the children of Israel and the promised land. What are you saying? I'm saying that God has used water all of the way through the Bible. God put water between Naaman and his cleansing. In 2 Kings chapter 5, we read there about a man named Naaman. Well, who was Naaman? Naaman was a military officer in the Syrian army. But Naaman has a problem. Naaman has a disease that's going to kill him. You and I have a spiritual disease that'll kill us too. It's called sin. But Naaman's disease was leprosy. In the ancient world, leprosy was a death sentence. So Naaman is told in 2 Kings 5, go to the Jordan River and dip seven times. Now, he's like a lot of us. God said it plain, but he wants to argue with him for a minute. But then he decides, well, okay, I'm just going to do what I'm supposed to do here. And he goes and dips seven times in the Jordan River. Listen, God put the water of the Jordan River between Naaman and his cleansing. What are you saying? I'm saying that all of the way through the Bible, God has used water. You still here? Talk to me. Now, let's do something else here. Watch this. Watch this. In exactly the same way, God has put water between the sinner and Jesus Christ. Watch this. Watch this. Water stands between the sinner and being in Christ. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 27, for as many of us as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Water stands between the sinner and the new birth. In John chapter 3, Jesus told Nicodemus repeatedly, you must be born again. You must be born again. You must be born again. Jesus explained the new birth by saying that birth is of water and spirit. You say, well, how do you know the water is baptism? What other water is there? Watch this. Water stands between the sinner and his sins being washed away. In Acts 22 and in verse 16, Ananias told Saul of Tarsus, what are you waiting for? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins. Water stands between the sinner and the remission of his sins. In Acts 2 and in verse 38, on the day of Pentecost, Peter told those who had heard the message and believed it, he says, now repent and be baptized, every one of you, on the authority of Jesus Christ, in order that your sins will be remitted. Why? Listen, why would anybody argue with this? Why would anybody argue with this? God has used water all the way through the Bible. God used water in the day of Noah. Water stood between him and the new world. In the children of Israel, water stood between them and the promised land. Naaman, water stood between him and being cleansed from his sins. Listen, water stands today. Water stands between the sinner and being in Christ. Water stands between the sinner and the new birth. Water stands between the sinner and his sins being washed away. Water stands between the sinner and the remission of his sins. Water has always been God's dividing line. Now, I believe in making stuff simple, because that way I can understand it. So I'm going to make this as simple as I can. There is no such thing as an unbaptized Christian. If a person has been raised with Christ, their focus is on the things of heaven. If a person has been raised with Christ, they have been baptized. Number three, third observation. If a person has been raised with Christ, their life is centered in Jesus. Life is all about Jesus. Look at verse 3 and 4 again. In Colossians 3, verse 3 and 4. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears. A person who is raised with Christ centers their life around Jesus. Now let me tell you something about that. Every life has a center to it. Every life has a central focus. And everything about that life is surrounded and moves in toward whatever focus or toward whatever center that life is. Now here's the question. How does a person know what the center of their life is? How do we know? There are two ways that every person can know what their life is focused on. The first thing is, where do you put your time? Where do you put your time? Wherever we put our time is where we're putting our life. Brethren, listen to me. Whatever gets our time is what gets our life, because life is made up of our time. Well, I don't know what the focus of my life is. Where's your time at? Where's your time at? How do we know what our life is centered on? It's our time. And the other thing is our treasure. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 21, note the order of what he says. Jesus said, "For where your treasures are, there your heart will be also." What happened? What is happening in that verse? What happens in that verse happens to every one of us. Wherever we put our treasure is where we put our heart. Our hearts follow our treasures. Well, I don't know where my heart is. Where's your money? This isn't hard. This isn't hard. Wherever my time is going and wherever my treasure is going, that's what the focus and the center of my life is.
Jesus said in Matthew 6 and verse 33, seek first the kingdom of heaven and its righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Look, Jesus is either all or he's nothing at all. If a person is risen with Christ, they're going to seek heavenly things. If a person is risen with Christ, they've been baptized. If a person has been risen with Christ, Jesus is going to be the center of their life. One last thing quickly. The fourth observation, if a person has been risen with Christ, they're going to anticipate his return. Look at verse 4. Look at verse 4. Colossians 3 and verse 4. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Let me make an announcement right here. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. In Revelation chapter 1 and verse 7, John said, behold, he comes with the clouds, and every eye shall see him. You're not going to turn the TV on and they're not going to say, Jesus is in Europe and he's heading across the ocean and he don't look happy. In Acts chapter 1 and in verse 11, when Jesus was ascending back into heaven and the disciples were there, there were two angels there and said, why are you standing as he goes up into heaven? This same Jesus which is taken up into you into heaven shall so come in like manner. Listen, Jesus is coming. Now, when is he coming? I don't have a clue. And neither does anybody else. And everybody in the past who's set dates for him come, they've all been proven wrong. So when is he coming? I don't know. But here's what everybody's concerned with this time of year. Well, when was he born? I don't have a clue. I don't have a clue. There's no verse in the Bible anywhere that says when he may have been born January 1st. He may have been born October 1st. Bless God, I hope he was born August 22nd. With all the other great people. Listen, I don't know. Now, let me be real honest, okay? I'm just going to tell you. This is just it. When is he coming? I don't care. I don't care. Now listen to me. Listen to me. Well, when was he born? Look, I don't care. Listen, when he was born doesn't concern me. Do you know what concerns me? What concerns me is what is he gonna do with me when he comes back? That's what I'm concerned with. If I knew when he was, how would that help me? Oh, I can live better now. No. What I'm concerned about is that what happens to me when he comes back? So here it is. Here it is. The bottom line to all of it. In a few short years, and I mean a few quick short years, time flies, don't it? In a few short years, everybody here is going to know one or two things. You're going to know the greatness of heaven. Are you going to know the terrors of hell? And what you do right now may go a long way to determining which one of those experiences you're going to have. If you've been raised with Christ, you have a responsibility. You have a work and a life that you need to put your hands to. You need to focus on spiritual things. Yes. Listen, in just the average day, how much time does God get? And I'm not talking about just reading the Bible or praying, that you even think about it, that you meditate on it. Do you know the word meditate in the Bible means to utter to yourself? If you want folks to stay away from you, just walk around in public and utter about Jesus. When people get around me, I don't want about me. Well, Jesus, now you just the Lord. Oh, my Lord, are you going to come today? Let me tell you something. You be alone quick. And if you want to get to the head of any line in any store you walk into, just get to the back of the line. Oh, Jesus. Look, I'm next in line right here. You okay? Okay. Some of you are going to be real sad this week, so I'm trying to help you out here. Listen, focus on the things of God. Focus on the things of God. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. And if you're ready, it don't matter when. This morning, you need to come. God help you to do that right now.